Now, when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging on. As you well know, we have transferred into the we've gone to the second hour. We're picking up Paul Fromm. He is Mr. German History, and this is the German History Hour. In our show notes, we put in, you're probably looking forward to this elderly German. His name was Carl Hessler, but he's feeling well. He's not feeling well. He had to cancel out. But have no fear. We're going to do German history. Paul knows a thing or two about German history. Paul is a proud German Canadian, and he knows many Germans up there in Canada, up in the far, and formerly, well, Paul says the Great White North. But anyway, like I told Paul during the break before we came out, everybody and his mama knows Brother Paul Fromm. But anyway, I don't care if they do. Paul, come on and tell us a little bit about you, because you deserve it, man. You deserve all the accolades we can give you. You've been in this fight, good God Almighty, since the 60s. But anyway, tell them a little bit about yourself, Paul.
Well, mein Damen und Herren, as ladies and gentlemen, this is the German History Hour, and this is Paul Fromm. I've had the great benefit of meeting so many Germans in Canada. Some, of course, have been here for many decades, like myself, but others were immigrants mostly after the Second World War, with all their stories about the years just before the war, and the years after, and a very different picture from what we're told in the fake news media. We in the Anglosphere have been the victims of over 100 years of poisonous propaganda. You expect propaganda during a war. You know, the other side, they're all devils and rape their mothers and murder cats and all that. But after the war, you admit, well, kind of these exaggerations. They were really just like our people. They were called up and they served their country. But that's not being the case with Germany. You would think from the fanaticism and Hitler, that one of the worst names they call Donald Trump, he's Hitler. The Democrats are convinced he's Hitler, except he doesn't have a mustache. It's still a word of defamation. If somebody called Bernie Sanders Stalin, I would say 90% of the population wouldn't even get it. We've gone by previous battles we've been in. But there's something, there's an animosity there that's fixed of the German people. And your previous guest was talking about memories of people who lived through National Socialist Germany, and the sense of unity, the sense of brotherhood and happiness. It's hard to exaggerate how much Hitler improved the economy virtually overnight. Like within 2 years of taking power, he had full employment, wages were going up, there was respect for the working man, state-sponsored vacations, not just 2 weeks off and stay home, but you could the chance to go to the mountains and take in the fresh air, or go to the sea, or take a cruise. The lot of the German working man improved overnight and absolutely dramatically, and people had a sense of unity. The bigger conflicts that are being torn apart German society from the end of the First World War until 1933 were largely gone, and just a gut churning immorality that characterized the Weimar years from 1918 to 1933. Berlin was an absolute toilet of corruption. I mean, I've not heard of the transgenderism till about 10 years ago. And I thought I'm, you know, pretty sophisticated. I wasn't brought up in a seminary. But they had active transgenders in Weimar, Germany.
I didn't know that. Wow.
The
I knew they had everything else.
Yeah, the degeneracy born of, I think, despair. That Germany had not been conquered militarily in the First World War. It foolishly signed an armistice, which means we'll put down our weapons and let's go and discuss things. It was not unconditional surrender. And then they, an allied, or rather really British blockade, starved Germany into submission, so that the government at first, the peace treaty in Versailles, basically said, yeah, we're responsible for the whole war, we're guilty. They accepted massive reparations. I mean, they had to pay massive reparations, a lot of their territory being torn away. The Germany, there was a spirit of despair in the 20s, and that often, you know, sometimes people handle bad news in different ways, but one way was just wallowing in, you know, complete degeneracy, you know, just absolutely disgusting. Child pornography, child sex. You could copulate with anything you wanted in Weimar Germany. Remember the opposite sex member of the same sex, somebody who didn't know which sex it was, a dog. I mean, it was depraved, and Hitler campaigned against that and put an end to that. And Germany was healthy again during the years of the Third Reich. And I had the privilege to meet two very different women, and who told me their experiences. One was born in Germany, lived up until the late 30s in New York. So she's very sophisticated. She'd seen a lot of the world, went to make a loyalty, and said she once met Hitler. And she said, you could get lost in his blue eyes. She said she felt something. She didn't use the term, you know, orgasm, but it was like a mystical spiritual experience, that there was something incredible about this man. And she was a sophisticated person. She wasn't I don't want to say dumb country girl, but I mean, a backward girl who hadn't had much experience and would be impressed by anybody who, you know, didn't have, you know, three legs. She was massively impressed, and she told me that on a number of occasions. She's a very intelligent woman. The other woman was more of a working class woman, and she was in a ladies' brigade or unit and had the chance to meet Hitler, and her conclusion was about the same. There was something, when you looked at him, there was something almost magical And she was very, very impressed. She said, I've never met anybody before or since that had that power. And it wasn't anything he said. He didn't, or any grand gesture, just a few words in his presence. And that impressed me. Both these women, were fairly experienced. I mean, they weren't young and naive, and the testimony was impressive.
Well, that, Paul, we're going to go to our first break, and I'll have a couple of comments when we come back, and we'll go right back to you. People, we've got a short break here. We'll be right back in just about a couple of minutes, though.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, if there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people, unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood Radio family, I hope I don't do what I'm notorious for doing, getting a guest and our brother's co-host off subject. But one thing that fascinated me, I talked to Paul about it, and he's going to address it, the topic. Under Adolf Hitler and the German government, they were doing great. By the time Adolf Hitler, our brother Adolf Hitler, I think he's one of the greatest men that ever lived, greatest white men, fully equal to anything that the Confederacy ever put out. I really believe that. But anyway, back to, that being said, he kicked out the Jew bankers. They did away with the central bank, just like Brother Paul said, they got rid of this fractional reserve, where if you put in a dollar in the bank, you could lend out 10 or 20 or 100 or 1,000. There's no limit to it now. But Hitler got rid of the central bank. He didn't even use gold and silver to back the currency, because they probably had none, because the so-called Allies stole everything Germany had, everything that wouldn't nail down. If it was nailed down, they took a crowbar and put the nails out. They stole everything the Germans had after in the World War One, just like they did after World War Two. But Paul is going to say, I told Paul I wished I had a textbook that would to explain exactly how Hitler did that. But Paul has some knowledge of that. Before I get him too far off course, I'll get him to talk about that. I'd like to throw one more thing in there. way years before the actual shooting started. You can look this up during the break. If I have time, I'll try to find the textbook I have. There's a book that came out in the British newspapers, as for one, and it said, "International World Jewry, and the International Jewry declares war on Germany." And this was like 1937, 36,
well, because as soon as Hitler was elected, that happened. Hitler had just been elected, and they declared economic war on him.
Yeah, 7 years, 7 years, 8 years before the shooting started, and they did it probably because he kicked out the Jew bankers. With that being said, Brother Paul, tell us a little bit about these credits, social credits you're talking about, because they had no gold and silver. The so-called allies stole it all. So go ahead, Brother Paul. Tell us what you know about the economic miracle he pulled off.
Well, one of the things holding back an economy or economic recovery is a lack of credit. And the man who developed the ideas of social credit was a Scottish engineer, he said, "Whatever is physically and humanly possible should be made financially possible." For instance, Germany needed modern, good roads to tie the country together, and to build a modern economy. Okay, well, they had the human skills, the workers, the engineers, and so on. They had the physical means, concrete, asphalt, sand, gravel, and all that. But under the old economic system, we don't have the money. What the social credit says, this was Major Douglas who developed these ideas, what social credit said is we will make it financially possible. So instead of the banks creating credit out of nothing, well, out of 1/26 of what they lend out, but instead of the banks doing it, the state will do that. So the state will, let's say the building of the Autobahns, just to keep it simple, would cost a billion marks. Okay, Germany didn't have that. They could perhaps levy taxes, but people were very poor. It might take a very long time to get that money, or it would make poor people even poorer. Or they could borrow from the international bankers, which would be bad too. So what they did was simply this. This will cost $1 billion. A billion marks. We'll print a billion marks, and we'll use those marks to pay the workers, the engineers, and to pay the suppliers of sand and gravel and asphalt and concrete. And that's how it got done, but without inflation, because they didn't just spend print money blindly, in which case people, or our government more likely would go on a spending spree, much of it just nonsense. This was for something practical, and it was that way that they, almost overnight, 2 years is, in an economy, almost overnight, we built the economy from the misery of the Depression, which had hit all Western nations, into a thriving economy. And yes, the British were embarrassed at these German tourists who were healthy, well dressed. And meanwhile, Britain was, many Brits who thought that they won the First World War were in dire poverty. In fact, he would be briefly King Edward VIII. before he was forced, I think, by British intelligence to resign. At one point toured the slums when he was still Prince of Wales and in mining areas, and he could not believe the poverty. And yes, some of it was probably his very privileged background, but you didn't have to be vastly educated to see real poverty. And he recognized that and said, you know, my word's not his, but the system's not working. Something's got to be done.
You know, Paul, what you said, it dawned on me, under an honest money system, for instance, here in the United States in the beginning, before 1913, when the Jews stole the right to print currency from the United States Congress, is supposed to print the currency. They're supposed to, the dollar was supposed to be, I didn't know, like 1 ounce of silver, so many grains of silver. It's supposed to be based on gold and silver. Well, gold and silver is a hard commodity. You can use it. It's good for something. But you know what? It dawned on me, but so is sand and gravel and concrete and asphalt and shovels and spades and a man's labor. So that money, those social credits, Paul, that was genius. They didn't have gold. They didn't have silver. And they didn't. And some of the gold is frivolous. I don't think Henry Ford liked gold. But those are real hardcore valuable commodities. So that was really a better system than the system. I've always been big time a gold bug, so to speak. But that was no wonder it succeeded. So that money was the social credits were just frivolous. They were based on something of hard value. That was genius. That's how they did that. Wow. Now I don't know how they balanced the number of social credits per ton of concrete, et cetera, ton of asphalt, but that's genius, Paul. I've often wondered how they did that. Wow. I know no wonder the Jews hated that because they couldn't control that. You know, you can't print. You can't take a printing press and print a ton of sand, a ton of gravel. You can't print a man out there digging with a spade.
No.
So that's why they hated him. That's why because they took the control away from the Jew. And that's, you know, on the other hour, on the first hour, Paul, our guest, he said that there's only three nations left in the world that do not have a Jew-controlled central bank. That's Korea, North Korea, Iran, and Cuba. So we see what's happening to Iran right now. And the same thing that happened to Libya when they were trying to go over to a gold standard. But anyway, I didn't want to get you too far off track, Paul, but I'm really amazed.
You know, there's a connection between Iran and National Socialist Germany, and I know Ayatollah Khomeini is not Hitler, but the connection is this. We are being fed an absolute bathtub full of lies and propaganda. You know, during the Second World War, and my parents told me this, we were motivated to fight National Socialist Germany for several reasons. A good reason, I suppose, was a loyalty to the mother country, to Britain. Britain's in a war, but we should help. But that should be done cautiously, not just in a knee-jerk fashion. But there were stories like Hitler wants to conquer the world. Hitler didn't even conquer the Soviet Union. He didn't have the soldiers. And Hitler might invade North America. He couldn't invade England. It would have been very difficult. If there had been spirited resistance, it would have been a bloody battle. England is 27 miles across the English Channel.
We've got to go to our bombing break, Paul. This town is flat running out. People, we got a 5-minute break. You've got plenty of time to do whatever you need to do. Be right back in 5 minutes.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Hot, muggy weather across much of the Midwest and Northern Plains. Forecasters say triple-digit readings and very high humidity will be the norm for several days. Kaiser Permanente pulmonary critical care physician Laura Myers says if you're going to be out in extremely hot weather, the time of day and the clothes you wear can make quite a difference.
Go out earlier in the morning as opposed to the heat of the afternoon. The hottest hour tends to be 3-4 p.m. And just really trying to make sure you're wearing, you know, light, loose clothing.
Tornado touching down in the small town of Enderlin, North Dakota. Three people are dead. A regional airport has been heavily damaged there. Also at townhall.com, Palestinian activist Mahmoud Khalil has been released from federal immigration detention. Here's correspondent Ken Lorman.
The former Columbia University graduate student left a federal facility in Louisiana on Friday. Khalil was released after a federal judge ruled the government could not keep him detained. The Trump administration plans to appeal the release. The government says Khalil must be expelled from the country because his presence could harm American foreign policy.
B-2 bombers have been deployed to Guam. They're on the way right now in a major show of force by President Trump. Massive aircraft from Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri and tankers linked up with the B-2s in two groups of four. Israel's military says it's preparing for the possibility of a lengthy war with Iran. It also says it struck an Iranian nuclear research facility earlier today, and three more senior Iranian commanders have been killed. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Summer is all about making great memories. Boy, I love getting out on the boat. I admit that one of my little joys in life is to get on a boat and ride around on Tampa Bay. But if you're living with pain, those future memories can be stolen from you. Here's a thought. Try Relief Factor. Let's see if we can get you out of pain. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement designed to help your body fight pain. It's a doctor-developed formula made of natural ingredients. The best part of all, Relief Factor never masks the pain. It helps reduce or even eliminate it for good. Whether it's doing what I do, whether it's kayaking on a lake, running around with the little ones, or just chilling in the hammock with a good book, Relief Factor can help you feel better, move better, and do more of the things you love all summer long. So if you're ready to reclaim your summer and make some amazing memories, head over to relieffactor.com or give them a call at 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF. Do it now and get their 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That number again, 1-800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF. Fight pain naturally with Relief Factor.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, this time is flying. I'm telling you, since people will send me emails wondering how I'm doing, Paul said he was glad I'm progressing quite well. Well, just in case you'd like to know, if you're keeping up with my what happened with my surgery, et cetera, et cetera, a young cardiology resident told me that the surgeon that worked on me was great. He's a wonderful surgeon, brilliant surgeon. The only trouble is, he said the surgery he did to prevent atrial fibrillation was useless because he said in all the years I've been at the VA, I've never had one run of AFib. I have had SVT. But I did do great. I'm doing great in the last days. It's hotter than hell. I did a workout. I'm still training. It's going to be a very long shot with more than one limb in the way, but I'm training for the New York City Marathon. That'll be my seventh since I was 67 years old. But then what's where we are? A few people that have asked about how I'm doing, and I'm sorry I forgot to mention. I'm also sorry I forgot to mention Father's Day, whatever that was, because I've never have been a big celebrator of holidays. I guess I should. But, you know, Paul and I were talking about, before we went to the break, We talked about Iran and things like that, how Iran and people. But anyway, Paul, I'll just shut the hell up and I'll let you talk about what you were talking about during the break. But go ahead, Paul.
Well, I don't know if we'll entirely finish it today, but I do want to talk, you know, now and a future program about over a century of anti-German propaganda. It goes way beyond the Second World War.
Yes.
America was dragged into the First World War on a basis of lies and a sneaky deal between major Jews and President Wilson. I worry that we are being led, if not into war, into applauding Israel's naked aggression against Iran but with a series of lies. Now, I'm not a Muslim. I am not in favor of spreading Islam throughout the world. Nothing like that. But Iran is an independent country. I don't know how you can say with a straight face that you can't have a nuclear weapon. I mean, the only country that we know that's used one is the United States of America. And they used on a break twice on a prostrate population. Imperial Japan was on the verge of surrendering. It didn't surrender because of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It was the emperor and those around him had already made the decision, the goose is cooked. But we have to do something. It was a needless, if the idea was to make a point, like we've got a bigger gun than you have, Americans could have exploded the nuclear weapon on an uninhabited island off Japan or a sparsely inhabited island and kill a few hundred people. And with a big mushroom cloud and a big boom and everything is destroyed. It made the point. You didn't have to destroy Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And for whatever it's worth, the most Christian city in Japan was Nagasaki.
Yes, yes.
Of all the cities that could have been chosen for the big lesson, why was Nagasaki one? Now, there weren't a lot of Christians there. There were very few Christians at all in Japan. But why was that chosen? And who chose it? The people with the power to make decisions, and you would have known, if Nagasaki had a small but significant Christian population, why would that be made one of the targets. Well, I'll leave it to the imagination, but in terms of nuclear weapons, that's the point of mutual assured destruction. If Iran did develop a nuclear bomb, the United States, and I'm sure France and Britain, maybe even even Russia, probably India, would say, look, if you ever use one of those things on Europe or the United States, you will be bombed back into the Stone Age, because we've got more of those weapons than you do, and more better and better delivery. It's not a good thing if indeed Iran is developing a nuclear bomb. But to make this a cause of mass destruction, the Israelis are just using Iran as a shooting gallery, assassinating scientists, assassinating many of their generals, but they haven't declared war. It's just naked aggression being covered by the old fear bogey, nuclear weapons. It's important Americans in the intelligence establishment, including Tulsi Gabbard and the former CIA head, William Burns, have said Iran is not developing a nuclear weapon. This may prove as true as Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction, you know, nuclear, chemical, and biological. Well, that was the justification for a war that killed 600,000 Iraqis, thousands of Americans, and so on. And when all was said and done, and they scoured Iraq from one corner to the other, no weapons of mass destruction. True. It was all a lie. And I think many of President Trump's instincts are good. He doesn't want a war in the Middle East, and he doesn't want American boots on the ground and one of these involvements that goes on for decades, as it did in Iraq and Afghanistan. But he also has, I think, he's really been sold a bill of goods about nuclear weapons. And,
well, you know, Paul, since you brought that up, I think it was yesterday I was watching a news clip, and it's the hypocrisy is just off the scale. The lunacy is off the scale. This man, Trump, I've watched him on the air, and he said he's going to give Iran additional 2 weeks to decide if they're going to come around and take a knee and bow and let the United States come in and search for every nook and cranny, just like they did in Iraq, for nuclear weapons, and to make sure that the Iraqis give up any aspirations of having nuclear weapons. And and people talk about how Iran is such a terrorist nation. I would like to point out to the people, who was it that bombed the living hell out of who? Totally unprovoked, unannounced, a Pearl Harbor-type sneak attack, if you will, against one nation, against nation A, against nation B. It was the Jews. It was always the damn Jew. It was Israel that did that, a dastardly sneak attack against Iran, killing God only knows how many Iranian citizens for nothing. In my estimation, Paul, it's just further. They're furthering, they've almost done it, of draining the swamp like we heard about back when we got Pappy Bush and Baby Boy Bush. When Baby Boy Bush was in the White House, maybe when Pappy Bush was in the White House, we had all these people like with Crystal and these neocon Jews talking about they want to go in and drain the swamp. Well, they did. They knocked out Gaddafi in Libya. They got Hussein out of Iraq. They've knocked out Syria. Incidentally, you know, I like the people to know the United States has had military troops in Syria for years, draining the country of their oil. And then Israel, the hypocrisy is off the scale, Paul. And then once again, I know I'm beating the bush and repeating myself. And Israel launched an all-out attack against pretty much a defenseless Iran because Israel has, I've said they have the A5, they have the most advanced weapons in the sky. I hear we're going to a break, so I got to shut up. When we come back, Paul, we'll go back to you to the last segment of this hour. So we'll be right back, and then we'll tie it together with Germany. Be right back, folks.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Power, huh? Let me tell you something, boy. If I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Hello, Radio family. We've got one segment left of the second hour, so without further ado, I'm going to stop running my mouth. We're going to go right back to our guest and our fellow co-host and our fellow warrior, Paul Fromm. Go ahead, Paul, my brother. Continue on, brother.
Well, you know, this is a big topic, but the lies that were told about Germany, and this went back even before the beginning of the 20th century. Prior to that, the image of Germans was a kind of otherworldly people, intelligent. Interested in science and philosophy, like the absent-minded professor, and very musical. In other words, a fairly benign image. But then, as Britain was more and more afraid of Germany, the propaganda began before the First World War. And one of the things that was said was Germany was militaristic. The picture of the average German was a glassy-eyed soldier, almost like a robot, obeying the barked out orders of a Prussian commander, and you know, highly militaristic. Well, okay, that goes to the image, but what's the truth? Well, in the 19th century, France was more the aggressor and the bully. It had Louis the 14th, and Bonaparte repeatedly made a battleground of Europe. Could anyone forget that French arms had rolled at high tide across the entire continent of Europe, threatening even to overthrow the empire of the Tsar? That was the attack on Moscow in, I think it was 1812, and the humiliating retreat from Moscow during the coldest winter of the 19th century. But France was the aggressor. Here's an interesting series of figures. Captain Russell Grenfell, who's a British naval historian, said that in the century between Waterloo, that's 1812, I think, and Sarajevo at the beginning of the First World War, 1914, who was involved in wars the most? Britain was involved in 10 wars, Russia in 7, France in 5, Austria in 3, Prussia, or the predecessor of Germany, in 3. So, in other words, the countries that were most involved in wars were Britain, Russia, and France. Germany, much less so. Propaganda often works because people don't examine the statement and repetition. That's the big thing, and that's where our lamestream media is so pernicious. They just keep repeating the same garbage. And people, if they've heard it twice, then they say, well, it must be true. I heard it on ABC and NBC. So if that's what everybody's saying, it must be true. And this rather simple-minded approach that makes us vulnerable to very, very destructive propaganda. That is what, making a comparison between Germany and Iran. This particularly worries me, that are we being told the truth? And even if Iran is working on a nuclear weapon, the West can simply lay down the rules of the game. You better not use them on a European country or North America or else. That's what kept the world free of nuclear war during the Cold War. Neither Russia nor the United States, they knew if they used the bomb, massive destruction would follow. And even China, it has the bomb, but it knows that that's what the rules would be. If they decided they would take out, Taiwan, they'd bomb Taipei with a nuclear weapon. I mean, I don't know why they do it. Why would you destroy a city that you want to occupy? But even if they did, the repercussions would be terrible. And I think the same thing can be brought to the attention of the Iranians, if indeed that's what they're doing. What Israel is doing is knocking out a major opponent in the Middle East. And I suspect this may also be the opening to a land grab, because if they're coming off a big victory over Iran, I think they may finish off Gaza by what they're already doing in a way, and that's expelling the Gazans. They'll just retake the land and dispossess the people one more time.
We're talking about the first hour, talking about in Gaza. Paul, I don't know if there's any, has Israel completely wiped out? Is there anything left going on in Gaza? I know there's not one single hospital left standing, because Will on first hour made the point that the Jews, Israel and the American, like the Judeo-Christians, the same suspects are crying crocodile tears because one of the missiles from Iran landed on a Israeli hospital. Well, Will pointed out, and rightfully so, the facts speak, there's not one single hospital left standing in Gaza. The IDF intentionally wiped out every single hospital just because that's what they do.
I don't think that's entirely true. They've damaged them, but at any given time there might be only one hospital still functioning for a population of 2 million people. I read a very extensive article on this, and I could send it to you if you want. But often a person accused of making the same accusation over and over again, it's not so much telling something about you, the person who's
that's accused, true,
but about themselves.
Yes.
All this genocide stuff, the Nazis, genocide. Who is wiping out the Palestinians?
That's true.
And they're trying to dispossess, well, they've already stolen their land, but dispossess make life unbearable in Gaza. That's by most definitions a form of genocide. Who's actually doing genocide? The state of Israel, war is a terrible thing, and hospitals get bombed. I have no idea whether the rocket that hit the hospital in, I think it's Beersheba, yesterday was aimed, or these Iranians apparently don't have the most accurate weapons. So was it deliberate? Maybe was it not, or was it accidental? Who knows? But the destruction of schools. Children by the thousands in Gaza. That is deliberate.
No doubt.
And the Great War, World War II, that's not what you and I believe, but we in the West won through massive war crimes. The bombing of many German cities, where they were bombing civilians, not only the massacre of nearly half a million refugees in Dresden in February 13th and 14th of 1945, but the bombing of civilian areas of Hamburg and other German cities, where tens of thousands of people were killed. Yeah, these were the Geneva definitions of, these were war crimes. You're not supposed to aim to kill civilians. Yes, it happens as collateral damage. If there's a factory and you bomb the factory and there's some houses nearby, yes, civilians can get killed. But this isn't that. This is the deliberately targeting civilians. And
yes, it's documented.
Yeah,
it's documented. Just Churchill it's been quoted as saying that he wanted to baste Germans. He wanted to fry Germans. He could care less whether the Dresden and people like that or Hamburg was a legitimate military target. He said he wanted to baste Germans. He wanted to kill Germans. He wanted to fry them, and that's what they did. That's what they did. I didn't want to interrupt you, Paul. Go ahead.
No, I mean, and that. If we were to say that about, I want to choose something neutral. It was called Florian Paper, and it would be.
Well, Paul, it's like we've run completely out of time, brother. I know you have to go to a fundraiser and do some kind of a get together. I hope you have a good luck there. And I hope to see you very soon, because we're going to continue doing German history as long as we can. So I'll see you soon, Paul. Keep in touch. I'll do the same. Dear Blood Moon Radio, we're transitioning to the third hour. We're going to pick up my little sister, Monica Braveheart. It's been a while since you've been on. Be right back, folks.